this truth of my head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yardline.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yardline Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Picture this, like last night when protesters rushed the stage with Joe Biden speaking. Imagine if that happened. It could happen at any event. And if they accidentally bumped into Biden, they could be charged with assault of an at-risk adult. Do you realize that? The aggravating factor of committing a crime against an at-risk adult. This could be the first time that a party has nominated a candidate with dementia, with the early stages of senility. This could very well be that. And when he's unable to put together a few sentences that are coherent, and we have conservatives mocking him for that, it's painful to me to see. Of course, he's put himself forward. He wants to take over the nation. But it's like you've gone into a nursing home, and here's an old guy who has a hard time communicating, stating things clearly, and you're making fun of him. It's very much like that. So this is that's just another difficulty added on top of all the other difficulties. I want to talk about Chris Matthews out at MSNBC and our connection to him, a somewhat historic appearance on his show many years ago. And then also today, that terrible abortion case being heard at the Supreme Court. Donald Trump has now installed about, what is it now, 193 judges so far. And Colorado Right to Life has offered $2,000 to anyone who can, you know, document with a link to an article or a judicial opinion, $2,000 to anyone who could identify a single one of those judges who have ever acknowledged that the unborn child has a right to life, ever. Our video on YouTube, How to Get Out of Jury Duty, it's just crossed 19,000 views. That's fun. The whole channel is now over 930,000 views, headed toward a million. So we'll have to note that on the air when we reach a million views for our Bob and Yurt Live YouTube channel. And the COVID-19 disease from the coronavirus. In the U.S. right now, we are at about 100 known cases and 9 deaths. It's so interesting to me. We've done a verse-by-verse study of the book of Leviticus recently. In our store, you can look at the theology, the Bible studies section of the store, and we have our verse-by-verse study of so many of the books of the Bible. And in Leviticus, it talks a lot about infectious disease and what you need to do. And it talks about quarantining the people who are sick, washing not only yourself, but all the implements involved. And depending on what it is that might be carrying the infection, sometimes washing is not sufficient. You have to burn those things. So, phenomenal. And here we are, we're 3,500 years later, and what do they tell you to do? You know, quarantine and wash. Pretty awesome. On a Real Science Radio program upcoming, Fred Williams and I are planning to do a show on the scientific statements in the Bible, and there are so many, and they're so phenomenal. Our telethon for the month of March, our goal is $40,000, and we're at $1,600. We really could use your help. Our goal, of course, is to reach as many people as we can with a biblical worldview and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we don't have a megachurch behind us. We don't have a foundation. We have the Lord, but he doesn't send checks. You know, he doesn't. He's given us life, and he's given us the opportunity to make a difference for eternity. But he's given us one another to support the ministry of the gospel. And if you can possibly help, please do, either with a donation or a subscription to our Bible studies, sermons, topical videos. And the subscriptions and the monthly donations, of course, they help the most because they provide a baseline, an ongoing baseline of support each month, which then we could use for not only our offices and our staff and the broadcast time, but continuing our internet operation, which if you look at the discoverability of the teachings here at Bob and Yurt Live and Theology Thursday, we call our Thursday broadcast in Real Science Radio, it is extraordinary. If you go to kgov.com/rankings, you will see so many search terms that our article or our broadcast radio program or seminar or video ranks, you know, number one or in the top three or on the first page of results out of millions, sometimes out of a billion other relevant pages. So let's begin with Chris Matthews. He's out at MSNBC, no longer hosting his program Hardball. He's hosted that for 23 years, 5 days a week. And he's a leftist. He's a child killer. He's a socialist. He's not as socialist as Bernie Sanders, but all social programs are a step, and typically a very large step, toward socialism. When you think of Donald Trump saying absolutely, emphatically, and taking over the whole Republican Party, saying absolutely, we will provide health care for pre-existing conditions. Imagine how socialist that is and how immoral that is, how it violates God's enduring command, thou shalt not steal. What if you said to Allstate or to any of the auto insurance companies, you have to cover drivers after they've gotten into a crash? They don't have to have insurance with you, but if they sign up with you and then tell you, oh yeah, a week ago I had a crash, you have to cover that. How would that be for the health of the nation? How would that be for the moral development of the populace, of the people? How would it be? It's obviously immoral. It's evil. It's socialist. And it's Republican. And that's because Republicans have been following an approach, the lesser of two evils. And we've warned for going on 30 years that there's no bottom to that abyss. And you become your enemy. It just takes you a little while. But you become the thing you fiercely opposed just 10 years ago. And so a conservative today is a Republican trying to save a social program started by a liberal. That's what a conservative is. So Chris Matthews, he's a leftist socialist, even though he recently said how much he hates Bernie Sanders and he hates socialism. This, we are living, virtually every nation in the world has adopted today, maybe not Tonga in the South Pacific, probably them too. Virtually every nation in the world has adopted a significant degree of socialism, which violates God's enduring command, thou shalt not steal. So Chris Matthews, he's a leftist, progressive, God-hating, talking head, hosting Hardball on MSNBC. And way back in, what was it, February 1999, we had just burned O.J. Simpson's memorabilia on the steps of the Los Angeles County Courthouse. So OJ being a murderer and his memorabilia being auctioned and the money not going to him, but to his victims' families. And I know that gets a little weird, but not to him. So we decided to go out there and we spent, what was it, $14,000 on his jerseys hanging in his Brentwood home. And they were signed, you know, Heisman 68 and the two jerseys hanging in his own living room. And we bought those and we bought his Hall of Fame award that he received when he was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. And one other award he won called the Lifesaver Award, which was so ironic, being a murderer, that he would win a Lifesaver Award. So we bought those and we burned them on the steps of the L.A. courthouse. And because of that, Chris Matthews had invited me on his show. So I was in an L.A. NBC studio appearing on Chris Matthews' Hardball. And he kept me longer than a segment. It might have been a half of the show, might have been a half hour or so. And during a commercial break, he said, "Bob, my producer told me that you know a lot about the accusation that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick." And I said, "Chris, you're not kidding. And the evidence is overwhelming that he raped her." He said, "Well, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to somehow, we're talking about O.J. Simpson, but somehow I'd like to ask you a question and give you an opening to go ahead and present the evidence regarding Juanita Broderick." So that may have been, I'm not sure, but it may have been the first time that the case was made that Bill Clinton is a rapist on cable news. May have been. I'm not sure. And at the time, it was the topic that was avoided like the plague. When Bill Clinton was impeached for lying under oath and other reasons, charged with a number of felonies, they stemmed from his sexual abuse of women. And the investigators for the FBI had gone and interviewed Juanita Broderick. And over the years since Bill Clinton had raped her and was running to be reelected as governor of Arkansas and then for president, the rumor mill, of course, people would come to Juanita Broderick and she would deny it. She wanted nothing to do with the whole issue. But now the president of the United States is being impeached and the FBI comes to interview Juanita Broderick and her son, who I think is an attorney, said, "Mom, it's one thing to say no to a reporter. This would be lying to the FBI. This is a federal crime. If you lie, you've got to tell the truth." And so she told the truth. And the evidence against him is compelling. The Wall Street Journal reported that when you talk to the contemporaneous witnesses and you hear effectively the testimony, you realize that Bill Clinton, in fact, raped Juanita Broderick. That's verbatim out of the Wall Street Journal. They didn't say, "You realize that this is a serious allegation." They didn't say that he allegedly raped Juanita Broderick. They said, "You realize that Bill Clinton, in fact, raped Juanita Broderick." Stunning. And when you look at the pattern of him as a sexual predator, it fits right in. So that helped this accusation against Clinton move from a footnote in history to a significant part of his legacy, his damnable legacy. And then we took protest. We organized protest out of Bob Benyart Live in city after city where he was appearing and other cities, but we would follow him. I was there when he was in New York City. We organized a protest in Martha's Vineyard when he was there. When he would come here to Colorado, he went to Auckland, New Zealand. We were there, 10 of us, for the whole week that he was there. And we protested him in 145 cities with our banners that show the profile of his face and the words Clinton rapist. And then our yellow flyers that became iconic, Clinton raped Juanita. So Chris Matthews at Hardball, he's now out at MSNBC, but he did hate the Clintons even back then, and he did give me the opportunity to make that case. That was pretty neat. Oh, by the way, the folks who've given in the last 24 hours toward the telethon, thank you so much. From Colorado and Chet from Pennsylvania, Chet M., thank you, Chet, and Greg D., and James P., and Eric D., thank you guys so very much. So Chris Matthews, boy, he looks an awful lot like my father, my dad, Bob Enyart. He really looks a lot like my dad. And I think of him now and then, and I pray for him, that the Holy Spirit would work on his heart and his mind. And this is quite a time for Christians who know him, perhaps Christians in his family, to try to reach him with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some years ago, I interviewed Dick Morris, you know, the political consultant. He's the former Clinton advisor. And after the interview, he had become a conservative. And after the interview, he said on the air, Bob, could we keep talking after the program ends? And I said, sure. And he shared that, and everyone knows that he had his own sex scandal back 20 years ago, real embarrassing, of course. And what everyone might not know is that he said, that brought me face to face with God, and I realized that I needed to live for Jesus Christ. And I don't know a lot about Dick Morris's personal life, but it is encouraging to recognize that reality is a good evangelist. Reality. When reality hits, people think about God. If you're able to hide from reality with entertainment and pleasure, movies and binge watching, TV programs, video games, pornography, whatever, and you try to hide from reality, then really you're hiding from God. It's not that watching a movie and enjoying entertainment is wrong at all. It's just when that becomes out of control, when it's not in proper perspective, of course, pornography and sexual immorality in entertainment, that's all always wrong, always sinful, always destructive. But this is a good time for Chris Matthews to reconsider his entire life and especially his relationship with Jesus Christ. And speaking of which, there's Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch and the entire U.S. Supreme Court. The majority are Republicans. 5.5 of the 9 justices are Republicans. 5.5. We've explained that in the past. And today, they are hearing the oral arguments for this terrible abortion regulation out of Louisiana. And this will further entrench abortion into the jurisprudence and the legal foundation of the nation if it passes. And tragically, it's promoted by Christians, Christian leaders, Christian organizations who are doing what is evil. And that's not surprising if you read the Bible and you see, well, what was the track record of the religious leaders? How good of a track record? It was pretty much horrific. Horrific of the religious leaders. So we shouldn't be surprised to see this with Donald Trump being celebrated by our Christian leaders because he's remaking the federal judiciary, right? It's now 193 judges that he has installed. There are 80 vacancies right now. And I imagine with the politics of it, they'll continue nominating them and confirming them at a reasonably rapid clip, but wait until after the election to increase the pace. Remember that Barack Obama left dozens of judicial openings for Donald Trump to fill. Now, how's that for competence from their wicked leftist perspective? I remember our Democratic governor here in Colorado 20 years ago, the Republicans passed a law. He's against it. And he has 20 days by our Constitution to veto it. And he forgot to veto it. And it became law. So incompetence is widespread, not only among the Democrats, which normally it's they wear it on their shirt sleeve, but among conservatives, too. These 193 judges that are now in the federal judiciary, courtesy of Republican pro-life Christians, we have offered, I'm a spokesman for Colorado Right to Life, $2,000 to anyone who could identify, name a single one of those judges who have ever held, either in a ruling or in a dissent, in an op-ed, in an interview, in an article, who have ever held that the unborn child has a right to life, will give you $2,000. And we've also offered $10,000. This is American Right to Life. Offered National Right to Life $10,000 to name a single judge on the U.S. Supreme Court who has ever held that the unborn child has a right to life, ever. And of course they don't. And of course if they believed that the unborn child has a right to life, then they could never agree with the law that says if a physician has admitting status at a local hospital, that he could admit a patient and care for that patient at that hospital, then that physician can kill a child. You see, if you believe that a child has a right to life, and actually it's the God-given right to life, our rights don't float in a vacuum. They don't exist outside of any context, and they're not constitutional rights. Carry around a club of some type, and whenever you say your Second Amendment right or your Fifth Amendment right, or your, just hit yourself in the head with a club. Whenever you say that, and I bet you within three or four times you'll stop saying that, because most people have no idea where their rights come from. And the number one false answer would be they come from the government or they come from the Constitution. And if they come from the government, then they could be changed and then they're not rights, are they? They're just temporary privileges. Your rights come from your creator. You are endowed by your creator with certain rights. And when you refer to those rights as constitutional rights, you're undermining those rights. How many conservative talk show hosts can think through that? It's awfully close to none. Four. There are four. In the country, one every 12 and a half states. Every 12 and a half states, you'll find one talk show host. So here in the Western region, there's only this show, Bob Benyart Live. Forget about KHOW. Forget about KNUS. Forget about KOA. Now, if you're going to also talk about podcasters, well, you got the Weekly Worldview. You got to include that, Doug McBurney. So Donald Trump has what? He has nominated two of the nine Supreme Court justices, one in four of the circuit court justices, many district court justices. He has installed 10 judges on the Ninth Circuit, which is notoriously left wing out of California. So that means that's about a third of that circuit court, about a third of the Ninth Circuit court. But none of these judges hold that the unborn child has a right to life. None of them. Forget about recognizing that the child has a God-given right to life. They just don't recognize it. It'd be as though we were trying to abolish slavery and we put 200 judges on the bench and somebody says, well, how many of the judges have said they want to abolish slavery? And we say, well, zero, but that's not the point. And they look at you like you're a mental case. And they say, what do you mean that's not the point? I thought you were trying to, oh, you're not trying to abolish slavery. You're just trying to abolish late-term slavery. What in the world does that even mean? What if you're trying to stop the Holocaust and you get 200 governing officials into office and you're asked, oh, this is fabulous. How many of those are trying to stop the Holocaust? And you say, zero. What do you mean? How many have indicated that they want to stop the Holocaust? And you say zero, and they say zero. Then why is everybody celebrating? Is the whole nation mentally ill? Is America an insane asylum run by the criminally insane? And so in the midst of all this, we have the Democrats about to nominate someone who has obviously the early stages of senility. Joe Biden is suffering from dementia. And again, like I said, if protesters rushed the stage and they bumped into him and they're charged, what? They could be charged with assault of an at-risk adult. So this is a very bizarre time that we live in. And when you support the lesser of two evils, pretty soon, when you do that in one election cycle, by the next election cycle, you can't even recognize that your choice was for evil, because now the evil has become good. The Bible says, don't call evil good and good evil. So now the evil, you were supporting the lesser of two evils. Now you can only think of that evil as good because you've lied to yourself so many times, being addicted to the soap opera, which is American politics, and the talking heads on cable news. And so you can no longer think straight, and you have traded away the privilege of serving the Lord for the privilege of serving a political party, shifting your loyalty from God and His word to partisan politics and some man-made agreement. So that's why here at Bob Inert Live, every 4 years, it's very difficult. The finances here is difficult because we don't change the standard that God has revealed to us and that He expects us to live by and to teach. We don't change that standard every 4 years because of our lust to beat the Democrats. We don't do that. So, and I ask God for the strength, the wisdom, and then the courage, the strength to press on and not compromise just because I have a lust to beat the Democrats. No, it's not R versus D. It's good versus evil. It's right versus wrong. It's God versus the rebellion against Him. And right now, the rebellion that's most dangerous for the body of Christ is the rebellion that supports homosexuality and has shut up Christians, the self-imposed gag order against homosexuality. Self-imposed. And the self-imposed gag order against warning Christians about all the judges who are pro-aborts, child killers, who are being put in the federal judiciary in their name, and lying to Christians about socialism and the violation of God's enduring command, thou shalt not steal. You know, the Nazis hated the Marxists. So just because somebody hates Bernie Sanders doesn't mean they're right.